Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Well, good morning, everybody. You ready to get into the word together this morning? I'm so glad you're here. This is such a huge, huge month. April is just an amazing, amazing month. It started off with a bang last week in response to what God did the week before on Easter or Resurrection Sunday, the last one in March. Last week, we actually had the privilege of watching, and many of you were here to see this, but we had 41 people actually get water baptized last week. And I think that deserves a little thank you to the Lord and congratulations. The dozens of people who are stepping into a new season in response to following Jesus. Everyone say, I choose to follow Jesus. You know, there's nothing like following him. He leads us to where we could never go on our own. And that's what we're experiencing in this season. And I'm so glad that you're a part of it. As I look around at what we've seen God doing all the way from the very beginning of this year, it's clear that God is up to something big. Big. B-I-G, big. God's up to something big, and it's happening right now. And we're in the middle of the beginning of a wave of what I believe God is going to use to literally transform the communities we live in. I fully expect in our season, in our lifetimes, we're going to watch God literally transform the way this whole community works. I fully expect God by the thousands to begin to bring people to him in a life-saving way. We're going to talk about how God wants us to be a part of that as we move forward in today. So what I want to do this morning is just let you know that we are beginning this particular journey through the month of April as we explore specifically the vision God is giving us that he is setting in front of us to be a part of, aligning us to what he wants to do in this season he's bringing us into. And so today's going to feel a little bit different. I almost just brought a stool up here and a coffee cup because I want to just talk to you today. In fact, the reality is between now and the last Sunday of the month, the truth is if there was any way I could do it, I would just sit down with each one of you for about 30 or 40 minutes and sit down and talk about the specifics of what we see with the vision God's put in front of us. And it would be a great time. And so I got to thinking about how could I do that? And the reality is there's hundreds of people that call LifeLink home. In fact, last weekend we had about 750 that worshiped with us. The weekend before on Easter we had 1,304. And if you could just picture between now and the last Sunday of this month trying to find a 30-minute window to sit down with each one of you, it's probably just not going to happen. So I thought, how can I connect with the church family? And it hit me, well, every Sunday we gather here at the table at LifeLink. Why not just spend some table time with you today, kind of in a little different mode, and let's talk about what God is doing. And so I'm going to ask, if you will, just to kind of push the clutch in and shift gears with me a little bit. Normally I come out amped, you know, up completely on a scripture that God wants me to share with you and some life change that's directly responding to obedience to the scripture. And it's every bit of as much of that, but today I want to just talk to you a little bit. So can you guys kind of shift gears with me and just kind of lean in a little bit? Let's talk about what we see in front of us. As we're going through the month of April, I want you to realize that what we're really doing is beginning a season of time for the next couple of years that will be marked by what I believe will be marked by real and substantive change in how we do what we do. The reason is because we serve a big God who paid a big price to accomplish something big in the cities we live. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that a few thousand people in our area can go to church and be good Christians. Jesus paid the ultimate price for the redemption of men and women, boys and girls, in every city that we live in. And the Bible gives us the picture. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. So he paid a big price. And what we're doing is we're going to go through the next few weeks and we're going to explore, all right, so Lord, as we move through this, how are we going to become a part of what you're wanting to do in this next season? So what we're going to do is we're going to start today by kind of taking a look back and see what has God done in the first 10 years of LifeLink. So we're going to look back with Thanksgiving. Then I want to shift gears and I want to look forward today with vision. I love vision. Vision is the potential of what God wants to do if he can simply find people who are willing to give him their yes. And I love that. And so today we're going to look back with Thanksgiving. We're going to celebrate. And then we're going to look forward with vision and anticipate. But before we do anything else, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being good to us. Now, Lord, come alongside of us today. Pull up to the table and help us sense and feel what you're doing and saying so that we may be a part of this extraordinary transformation you want to do in our city, the communities we live in, and the region you've assigned us, south of 60 and east of 101. God, we're all in because you are the one who modeled this whole all-for-one idea. So be with us by the work of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, let me just start by a couple of kind of placeholders that we've talked about before. And that is, when we moved into LifeLink's building, the one we operate in now, that was in, can you believe it? It's been 2 years since we've moved in here. It's crazy, isn't it? So 2 years in April of 2014, March of 2014, we actually moved into the building, and we actually celebrated a huge kickoff for this season we've been in 2 years ago, and I would say God has done some extraordinary things in the last 2 years. One of which was, he gave us what we call our 2020 vision. And you've probably heard this before. If you've been around LifeLink more than a few months, you've heard it. But for the benefit of those who haven't been here that long, let me just say, when we moved into the building, it was kind of a line that kind of shifted us between seasons. And we asked God to give us a clarifier of what this new season is going to be about. And he gave us a snapshot of really about a 5 or 6 year period of time between then and the year 2020 with some ministry objectives he wanted us to accomplish. And I'm so excited because we're right on track. Let me just review them for you quickly. Number one, he challenged us to water baptize 2,000 people by the end of the year 2020. And I think that was an extraordinary challenge. It challenged our mindset, challenged the way we thought, because the rate we were on, in 8 years, we had baptized 300. So if you just kind of extrapolate the math, we're going to have to hit the gas and baptize a lot more to get to 2,000 by the end of the year 2020, right? But I love the way God does that. He just says, listen, I'm not going to let you cruise along. I'm going to jump in front of you with a compelling vision and cause you to stretch out of your comfort zones and get in this thing with me. So he did that. That we would be a church family worshiping together. Our worship attendance would be about 2,000 by the end of the year 2020. And we moved in here. We were worshiping together with about 500. So we can see God is doing something extraordinary in that. That we'd also be worshiping God together in multiple campuses, because when it comes right down to it, as much as we'd like to think about it, that this would do it, this facility itself won't really serve 2,000 people a weekend like we'd like for it to be. And so God's given us a region south of 60 and east of 101 that really extends all the way out through Queen Creek and Santan Valley, Apache Junction, Gold Canyon, Florence, and I know because every day I drive around that whole region. It's a little over 100 miles around. It takes me almost 2 hours. And I pray around that every day and ask God for strategies and divine appointments and the grace to be able to connect with people and do great things. And so I know I'm familiar with our region, and I just believe God's going to do something extraordinary. And so as we're turning the corner in that, what we realize is that God is literally causing us to kind of take stock of where we are in 2016, because this is our 10th anniversary we're celebrating at the end of this month. And God is putting out in front of us a big vision, and I could hardly wait to get to today so I can go through it with you, all right? So as we're getting into this today, I want you to know that I can sense God doing something, and it's not just somebody's idea, because God has been working uniquely in the hearts and lives of many of you who are responding to this. Something's going on, Pastor Dave. I can't tell you how many people I've heard in our congregation that basically are saying, there's something coming. There's something big happening. I can sense a change happening inside of me. I feel like God's drawing me up or drawing me higher. I feel more compelled to be involved, or there's something happening. I want you to know that that's real. God is actually doing that. For the way it appears to me was in January, starting January the 11th, we started a 21-day season of prayer and fasting. And I felt like the Lord challenged me to do what I did 10 years ago when God gave us our regional assignment south of 60 and east of 101, was to drive around the perimeter every day and pray for it. And so I thought, okay, for the 21 days, I'll do that. Well, I got to 21 days and I felt the Lord say, basically, I'm not done yet. So I got up at 4:30 the next morning, and I got in my car at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I drive out in the cup of coffee, and I meet God around the perimeter of this assignment and ask God for miracles for 2 hours. Listen, you have to know I am not a morning person. This is not normal for me. What's going on is God is compelling me to participate in something in an extraordinary change of my pattern. So I'm usually up till, you know, all hours. And I get up at the last minute in the morning and kind of start the day kind of with a jack up of caffeine of some kind and kind of ramp into the day. And the later it goes, the better it gets for me. So I can tell God's doing something unique inside of me. And I just want you to know, if you're feeling that, it's because God is doing something extraordinary inside of you as well. As we're going through this, what I sense in my spirit is God wants to multiply what he's doing through our yes. God doesn't want to just add a little bit of what we're doing. God wants to multiply it. The reason I'm saying that is because all of us know what it feels like when we realize, oh, there's something else I need to get done today. We just kind of add it to what's already a full day, and we just try to work a little faster and just add that one more thing in there. That's altogether different than if you realize I've got to completely change everything about my day because I've got 15 things that have to get in here, and these are so there's a multiplier. So it literally changes what you do that day. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So what God's wanting to do as we step into this next season together is God is basically saying, I want to multiply what I'm doing through you, and I'll need your yes to get it done. So we were having coffee today. I would probably pause right there and I'd just sip the coffee. You'd be sipping yours too, so you can imagine that. Some of you are sipping right now. I love that. In fact, we should probably tell everybody coming into the first service, hey, take your coffee in. You're going to have coffee with Pastor Dave. I should probably do that in the next service. Let me give you an idea. So when we moved into this building, God gave us this 2020 vision to get us moving into the lane we've been in these last few years, and it was a stretch because God was basically saying by the end of the year 2020, here's what I want you to have done. I want you to have baptized 2,000 people, worship together with 2,000 on the weekends, worship in multiple facilities to serve the area I've assigned you, and all of that was a big stretch. And it caused me to figure out, okay, how do we do this because, you know, we need to add a little bit here and add a little bit there and change a few things or whatever it was. And then God rocked my world with this one. As we turned the corner into this year, God basically said, I'm going to set in front of you a vision for your season. And I was like, bring it on, you know. And you should never just say that to God. Because he will bring it on. This happened the same way that something else happened for me. And that was, before LifeLink was even here, I asked God, Lord, what do you want? What is this thing supposed to be? And in a moment of time, literally less than 2 or 3 seconds, the Holy Spirit gave me what is ultimately who we are now. He just spoke into my spirit, LifeLink Church, linking people and God together for life. I want you to worship together on the weekends. I want you to do small groups together and change people's life. It literally happened in just seconds. And the reason I'm saying that is because that same impression that ultimately gave way through the yes that all of us have given God to where we are today is the same sound of God's voice that gave me this other vision. Moving into this next season, I believe God has challenged us with a direct assignment that I could hardly be more excited about. But I'm nervous about it too. And I don't know if you feel this way with me or not, but wait till you hear it. Basically, God is saying to our church, I want you to take a tithe of your territory to heaven with you in your time. Let me qualify that for you a little bit because that sounds like a little slogan. It's like linking people and God together for life, but that's how God speaks to me like that. A tithe of your territory to heaven in your time. So we got to thinking about it. What is our territory? Josh Nave helped me figure this out, did a bunch of research, and we have figured out that there are 730,000 people that live in our footprint, south of 60 and east of 101, just under 1 million. Okay, can anybody tell me real quick what a tithe of that would be? Huh? 730,000 A tithe of that is 73,000 people. Is that right? Anybody terrified yet? Anybody a little nervous yet? Listen, here's what I believe God wants to do. God wants to multiply what he's doing through our yes. Some of you right now are going, there's no way. No way. Well, let me be clear. I don't know if that literally means that our church alone will have 73,000 people in it by the end of our season. What I do know is God wants to use LifeLink in a strategic, catalytic way so that our efforts will help bring 73,000 people to the kingdom of God in heaven in our time. Now, I expect, honestly, we'd be thousands and thousands of people by the end of this, because what I believe God wants to do inside of each and every one of you. But here's what I want to challenge you directly. How many of you, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I have a feeling that many of you, when I said that God wants us to bring a tithe of our territory to heaven in our time, that's 73,000 people. Instantly in your mind, you're like, no way. No, it just can't be done. I mean, there are churches of 73,000 people in America. Nobody does that. But I want to challenge you directly. And if I were sitting down with coffee with you, I'd look you right in your eyes and I would say, I'm going to ask you to let God shift the way you think. Because this is happening in different parts of the world. There's a church in 2007 that had 830,000 in it in South Korea. There's a church in Chile with 350,000 people in it. The only way we can't get where we're supposed to go is if we tell God it can't be done. So I'm talking to you right now about the vision God has for our church, but I want you to know there's a corollary, there's a transfer of this. There's a vision God has for your life too. And what God wants to do is take the yes in your spirit that applies to the kingdom he wants to move through you and tie the results directly to your household, your life, your family, your legacy, your destiny. God literally is looking for people who would just say, all right, God, all bets are off. It doesn't look possible, but it didn't look possible that David could kill Goliath. And it didn't look possible that Daniel could sleep for a whole night in a den of lions. And it didn't look possible that Peter could walk on water. And it didn't look possible that water could be turned into wine. The scripture is replete with examples of what happens when things that look impossible are actually done, because people who are in the natural world we live in respond to the supernatural voice of God and just say, yes, I'm in. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm all in. I'm all for that. And so if I were sitting down for a coffee with you, what I would say is today, that's what I believe God is doing. And you think, Pastor Dave, I kind of get that, but honestly, do you really think? Here's what I can tell you. I'm beginning to think it can happen. Yeah. Can I just be honest with you? I'm just a person just like you are. But here's what I want you to know. I'm beginning to believe. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Some of you may know this. This is the original 8 sheets of paper that I showed the people who gathered at Super Bowl on 2006 and said, guys, God's giving us a vision of something he wants done. It's called LifeLink Church. There's never been a LifeLink Church out here before, and we have no history together, but this is what God's showing us to do. And 30 adults leaned in and said, I'm in. 10 years later, it's not 30 adults, is it? What I believe God wants to do is transform LifeLink Church from a congregation of people who are Christians into an army of Great Commission disciple makers. It's going to take a change. We have to be willing to change in our lives. We have to be willing to change. But Jesus is not confused about what his assignment is. If I were sitting down with coffee with you, I'd say, listen, let's take a quick look at Matthew chapter 28. Verse 19, the first part of verse 20. And I'd read this. I would say, here's what Jesus wants you and me to do. Jesus said, here's what I want. I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. that's, Frank, that's what Jesus would say. If Jesus were here today, he'd say, Frank, I want you to be a disciple maker. I don't want you to be a Christian. It's not that you are anti-Christian, but I don't want you just to wear a label. I want you to actually spend your whole life following me, making disciples. Aaron, Jesus would say that to you. If he were sitting down with coffee, he'd probably be like Dutch Bros or something. But that's what he would say. He's like, thank you for sitting down with me today, and thank you for being willing to listen, but I want to change the way you live. I don't want you to be a religious person. I want you to be a disciple maker. So religious people get to go to church and get to live their lives any way they want. As long as they go to church, then they can live their lives any way they want. A disciple maker is completely different. A disciple people has to follow Jesus and help others follow him. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
If we can find a way to unleash an army of Great Commission disciple makers in this region, that's all. This place would go up like a tinderbox. Because we are in a season of spiritual hunger. I want you to know this. All the ingredients necessary for this are coming together. Let me just point to one of them. I referenced earlier a church in South Korea, Seoul, South Korea, that has over 800,000 people in its attendance, its membership. Back in the 80s, that pastor actually came and visited the church that I was a part of. Andrew, I was about your age. Our pastor was interviewing him, and he said, Cho, why do you suppose hundreds of thousands of people gather every weekend in your church and worship? And he looked in a very pragmatic way and said, it's not very hard to figure out. They're desperate. He said, what's bringing the desperation? If I were having coffee with you, I'd take a sip of coffee. He looked at him right in the eyes and said, North Korea. We're right across the border from a tyrant with capabilities of wreaking destruction on our nation. Is there any wonder people are desperate? And in a moment, our pastor goes, no, it's no wonder at all. I'm not going to recall the latest news over the last several months, but guys, we're living in a world that is just stupid evil. And just because we live in America doesn't mean it can't reach us. Our nation is becoming desperate. Just the right ingredients are coming together right now for a supernatural shift of the way people relate with God. And here's what I want you to know. You are right in the middle of its beginning. You're here. Jesus didn't, he wasn't confused and just like some lottery system and this is when you're going to be born and all this stuff. He purposed to put you here right now because he needs your yes to accomplish what he wants done right now. This is the season for you. So if you're wondering, why am I here? I'm going to say, hey, lean in, let's listen to this together. Jesus actually was telling people, here's how you get this done. Here in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said, if you want to follow me, then you got to turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. Now listen, I've heard that preached, you know, kind of with a hellfire and brimstone idea, and you gotta, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And literally, what I think Jesus was saying is, you get a choice. You can follow me if you want. You don't have to. But if you want what I have and want who I am, you can follow me. Here's what it takes. You have to be willing to change the way you live. You can't live for yourself anymore. You got to live for me. It's just selfish ways doesn't mean like you're a horribly bad person. It just means the choices you're making are all based on your convenience. You got to make your choices based on something else. You got to learn. You have to live for me, not you. Then you got to take up your cross and actually follow me. What is that? Well, Jesus is not hanging Christians on crosses. That's a figure of speech that basically said you got to look right at the divine purpose God created you to accomplish in this season. And say, I'm not going to spend my life for my personal expediency, my personal convenience. I'm going to actually spend my life carrying out my purpose. What is that purpose? Well, in part, being a Great Commission disciple. Oh, but Pastor Dave, that's just going to wreck my whole Sunday night plans. Man, I watch football on Sunday nights and, you know, I'm all into March Madness during the spring and I don't have time for any of that stuff. And Jesus said, you don't have to follow. You really don't. But there's something inside of you that desperately wants to follow. There's something inside of us that desperately wants this. And what God is saying, honestly, is you can choose to say yes. So what I want to do now is kind of shift gears with you, because I'd like to spend a couple of minutes giving you some specific handles, because I feel like the heart of our awareness is in sync with what God wants to do. And in the spirit of what we've just been sharing, I want to say that this is the season that for the next few years our church is actually focused on. Learning how to live what we call all for one. You may have noticed that there's some stuff out in the lobby that looks different, and there's some ones all over the place, and there's this big AFO thing out there, and you're like, what's AFO? And there's a backdrop of pictures out there in the lobby. And what I really want you to know is that as we're stepping forward through these next few weeks, we're going to get synchronized with what Jesus is saying. If you want to follow me, come my way. I'm going to take you places you've never dreamed of before. I'm going to do things through you've never dreamed possible. All I need is your individual yes. Will you live all for one? All for one. Let me give you specifically a couple of handles to think about, because when God is saying to us, David, I want to use LifeLink Church to multiply my effectiveness, here's a multiplier. God essentially is asking you and me to double what we're doing currently in his kingdom. Specifically, three different areas. The time that we commit to his kingdom, which may be easy to measure, you in about 75 to 80 minutes on a Sunday, maybe you count that in. Perhaps you participate in a life group. I'm not sure if you do or not. But if you just kind of look at what is the time that you actually spend doing the kingdom of God intentionally, worshiping, serving, doing groups together, discipling people, whatever that looks like for you, just think about that. What is that? There's probably an hour figure with that. Some of you maybe 3 hours a week, others of you 6 hours a week. God is basically challenging you, double that. Oh my gosh, Pastor Dave, there's just no way I can do that. Here's what I want to say. Please listen carefully. As long as we say, there's no way I can do that, then there's no way we can do that. Make sense? What is required is us to say, God, you have my yes if you'll show me how to do that. Then God's like, that's all I need. I'll show you. And what will likely happen is he'll say, for a season of time, I want you to redirect the time you spend doing this venture or this recreation or this hobby or this whatever, and I want you to intentionally invest that back into my kingdom, either doing growth track or discipling people or doing small groups or serving or whatever. I want you to take the time you'd normally spend doing this and invest that time. I want you not to live for yourself. I want you to live for my kingdom. And that doesn't mean you have to be a martyr in every hour of every day, is that? I'm just saying figure out what that is and let God show you how to double that. And some of you may be like, man, I'm not doing anything. I mean, you're lucky if I just come to church. Well, figure that out. You're here today. So just 75 minutes and just figure out, well, what can I do with an hour and a half? Well, it may be as easy for you as just, well, I'm going to worship one and I'm going to serve one. Oh, man, that means I got to go through growth track and I got to figure out where to serve. And I don't like kids. I didn't say nursery, but you do need to worship one and serve one. Every week? Yes. Somebody's serving you right now. There's 100 people that made this service work for you. So, will you be the one that makes it work for somebody else? Make sense? What about the gifts that God's given you, the talents, your abilities? Right now, there are drummers sitting out there and you're not drumming. There are keyboard players out there and you're not playing keyboard. There are people who understand technology and you look at our screens every week and go, I think it could be done better than that. It won't be done better unless you actually get involved. There are people, let me just go around the 100 places it takes to make a weekend service and go, it won't help if you sit there and go, well, you know, bless God. If you're sitting on your talents, then it's not going to get done. But you can say yes. You don't have to, but you can. So your time, your talent, and your treasure. You're like, oh, I knew it. I knew it. I was on board until you said treasure. Now it's all a money thing. Well, let me just lance this boil. It's going to be money too. Why? Because Jesus said where your heart is, your treasure goes. Where treasure is, there your heart goes with it. Okay, so here's what I want you to understand. I'm specifically going to challenge you with what the Lord is challenging all of us. Double the time, the expression of your talents, and the resources you have in your influence. Double that over the next 2 years and let me accelerate what I want done. Okay? Now, let me just say this, and then I'm going to have to recalibrate a little bit of what my plan is. I need to say that there are four groups of people listening to me today. Let me just give you a slot that you can fit in. Number one, you're here as a guest. You're like, oh my gosh. There's no way I'm doing this. Listen, you're just in the locker room with everybody before the game starts, okay? No strings. Just enjoy it. You can go watch in the stands here a little bit, and it'll be fun. Now, if you want to join the team, you can get in on it too. But there's no strings. If you're visiting with us, God just providentially brought you here in a huge infusion of vision for what God wants to do. You're basically attending our Super Bowl party 10 years ago, and you're on the ground floor. And you can go if you want, but there's no strings. So please don't feel awkward. In May, I promise I'm starting a brand new series. We're kicking it off for the first 2 weeks. It's going to be kind of fun. Then we're kicking off a series called Christian. You're going to love that one, okay? Come back for that one. Okay, now the second category of people is you're what I call the automatic yes people. It's like, I could stand here and say, we're going to build a zoo. And you're like, yes, I've always wanted a zoo. I feel like my house is a zoo. I mean, you know, so there are people in the room today, you're just automatic yes. You don't need to know why we're doing anything. It's just the Lord, you're at a place in your walk where as soon as you hear vision, it's just yes. I don't know how, but yes. Okay, so I want to say to you, get ready. God's about to blow your mind in this next couple years. So just keep saying yes. Okay, now let me just say this, and this is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but there's a group of you in the room today, and you're what's called automatic no people. And I want you to know this morning, that's okay. That this, what we're working on over the next few weeks is not meant in any way to guilt trip you and leverage you into some kind of manipulation. I mean, to be honest with you, we've all been no people at some point, yes or no? Yes. We've all been there. And if you're just in a no season right now, I'm just gonna say you have permission to just be no. No sweat. No sweat at all. No strings, no sweat, no guilt, no condemnation. Here's the deal I'd like to make with you. If you're a no person, I won't try to manipulate you if you won't try to ruin it for other people. Okay, don't let your no get on other people. Is that fair? So, because it's not about manipulation. I'm privileged to stand in front of this congregation just about every weekend of the year and say, here's the vision that God's put in front of our hearts. Okay? Now, there's a third group of people in here today. So we've got the guests, we've got the yes, we've got the no, and then here's a third group of people. And this is probably the majority of the people in the room, to be honest with you. And that is, I'm willing to consider with an open heart what God says. And that's called the pray and obey group. They're like, show me. I'm not automatically no. I'm not automatically yes either. I need to see it. But if I can see it and hear it, I'll pray about it, and I'll obey whatever Jesus wants me to do. Does that make sense? So, with that in mind, I want you to realize that we're about to spend the next couple of minutes, and then we're going to transition today again, whole different kind of day. We're going to transition into a brief preview, and I want to show you, remember last year's model? I would like to show you this year's model. Okay, so right now our ushers are going to move through the auditorium quickly. I'd like to ask every person to take one. Every person to take one. And the reason I'm going to do this, I want to point a couple of things out with you and make sure you see what's going on in this so that we can do this together. Y'all enjoying coffee with me today?
Yes.
You know, I'm just thrilled. I have to say, I actually imagined that there may be 5 or 6 people that as soon as they got a feel for what was going on, they just kind of bolt for the door and just run. But you've just sat here and just let the Lord stir your heart. And thanks for being kind and considerate and leaning in with us and taking a look at this. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a couple of pointers about this book. When you get this, I want you to look inside on the first page. And guys, let me tell you what I intended to do. I didn't anticipate it would take me quite as long as it did for me to actually connect with you heart to heart. It took a little longer than I thought. I imagined what I would do is actually spend about 15 or 20 minutes going through this booklet with you and showing you the flavor of the different pages. But I'm going to have to do that a little faster now because I've only got about 7 or 8 minutes before I need to dismiss you. So let me just tell you, on page 1, this highlights some specific numbers you may be interested in that God has done through our yes in the first 10 years. Look at this. Hundreds of people have made first-time decisions for Christ since we started. 490 people by the end of last year had been water baptized for Christ. We've seen God provide the finances needed to purchase and renovate this highly effective facility. Okay, look at this phrase. Right in the middle of the market crash, 2008 through 12. Do you ever wonder why Jesus calls people to do things right when it's not convenient? For those of you that wonder, we that weren't here, in 2008 is when we launched what we called our Imagine campaign. Some of you remember Imagine? We launched it. The public launch was the Sunday that followed the Friday stock market crash. You talk about bad timing, all right? But look what God has done. He's given us the ability to do everything He wanted between 2008 through 2012. And here's something that many, I don't celebrate this enough, but you need to realize that by the end of last year, LifeLink had sown $982,149.77 back into the world through our comprehensive missions ministry. Do you know, by now it's over $1 million. Do you realize that you have invested back $1 million back into missions every weekend that you come and just do this? You're a very generous church. So we consider what God's done through this last 10 years. It's been extraordinary. All right, I want you to turn the page and look over. The next page looks like this, kind of a pictures. Some of you wonder, what was that vision party that was on Super Bowl Sunday? Well, it starts right here, vision party with 30 adults, 2006 in February. Some of you, if you can look real tiny there, there's a picture of what our very first service at Chandler Traditional Academy looked like in April of that year. Here's what it looked like when we blew out that room. It was awesome. And then we launched the Imagine campaign to fund the permanent building in September of 2008. Timeline moved over to Perry High School. Here's us signing the documents for the loans that we got for the building with the funds that God brought through together. Some before and after pictures. And then I want you to look. Do you guys see this picture right here? It's got a coffee cup in front of the building. Y'all see that one? Okay. Let me just talk to you for a moment about this because I want you to let the Holy Spirit freeze frame today for you. That coffee cup has the Imagine logo on it. It's the coffee cup that we actually gave out on the Sunday we committed to go on the Imagine journey. We gave that out to everybody. When we gave that out, it was right in the middle of what was a terribly intimidating circumstance in our culture that said there's no way you're going to raise the money you need for a building after the stock market crash. But you know what? Here's what we did. Kind of like today, I just said, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen with the economy, but God is not taken by surprise. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to just trust Him moving forward, and you do what God talks to you about. No pressure. And over the next 4 years, almost $500,000 came through the yes of our congregation that ultimately was the seed we needed to buy this building. And it's just no pressure, no sweat, but the people of God just responding to what God was telling them, sacrifice to be sure that God's people did it. There was a moment here in 2014, just about the time we were preparing to move into our building, I was walking around out in the parking lot and I was drinking coffee with my Imagine cup. And I saw the picture that you see right here. There was a moment that I was experiencing. Here's the 2008 coffee cup. There's the building that was tied directly to this vision. And God was already, at the moment this picture was taken, all He needed was the yes that took us from 2008 to that moment. Do you see that? The reason I'm saying that is you're going to look at a mountain of no issues in your life and say, no way, I can't do it, won't do it, whatever. And all I'm going to do is challenge you, give God some wiggle room and see what he wants you to do as we participate through this. And let God connect the dots for you. We move on through there. Let me give you a couple of quick pointers on this. There's defining moments page, defining moments across the top. If you look on the next page, it's got this AFO logo on it. All for One is, we talk about what God wants to do to reach more people and fund more ministry through LifeLink Church. This has to do primarily with the finance side. I've already talked to you about the time and the talent side. And this whole expression here is talking to you about the vision related to the finances side. All right? If you look down here, All for One is a life-changing challenge for each of us to intentionally live beyond myself for our church, for my community, and for our world. If you'll notice right down here, this figure that says $5 million, let me tell you what that's directly tied to. That's not just a spitball up on a chalkboard idea somewhere. All we've done, literally, is we've taken what we are currently spending as an expression of ministry right now, which is about $1,250,000 a year that we express for ministries and visions and buildings and all the different things that it takes to make LifeLink Church work. And we said over 2 years, that would be $2.5 million. If we double that, that's $5 million. Do y'all see what that is? So all that is just a reflection of what it would be if we all individually double what we're doing. All right, and I know that right now that you're thinking, man, there's no way I can do that. Well, I'm just gonna ask you to give God the wiggle room. So turn to the next page. We're intentionally living beyond myself for our church. This page here has the details that we actually believe God wants us to accomplish if we're able to see all the funding come through that your yes represents. All right, that's for the church, what God wants to do in the church. The next page is what God wants to do in our community as we give him our yes. So our Queen Creek campus launch is in there, our outreach initiatives and community partnerships and Church Leap Network, how God's using those three big areas. All right, and then that's the goal there at the bottom of that page. The next two pages is the way we anticipate what God wants us to do through church planting, global outreach, international, intercontinental church collaboration, and what goes together with that. Let me turn to this page. Here's what we're asking you to do. The reason I'm saying this is because sometimes we do need to be inspired with vision. Sometimes we need to be told specifically, what are we asking you to do? So that's what these two pages are. Got it? Please read through this and let the Holy Spirit challenge you with that. Turn to the next two pages. The next page here says, My Giving Potential. I'm going to spend about a minute on this page. And by the way, this service is going to go about 5 or 6 minutes long, so let's just, if you can, just stick with me. My Giving Potential is in here as a kind of a worksheet, if you will, for the Holy Spirit to show you different aspects of what you think you actually have to work with. The reason I'm saying that is a lot of times people will say, man, I can't double my giving because my cash flow monthly or weekly doesn't support that. What I'm saying is God's saying, look at what you have influence over right now in your household or your world. It may not simply be just cash flow. There may be properties to sell, boats and RVs to sell, chunks of your 401, 403, I have no idea what God's going to do, but I just wanted you to think through this because we actually have far more potential than we think. And again, the yes people automatically get it. The no people, no strings. The willing to consider, all I'm saying is pray and obey. Does that make sense, you guys? So your income obviously is a portion of what is there. Sacrifice has to do with lifestyle change. So maybe I eat out 1 or 2 times less a week and force the home dinner idea or whatever that looks like. So lifestyle issues, delayed expenditures, there's something else we can do. Maybe we can put off buying this or put off buying that and move that down a little bit for some lifestyle issues. Freedom from debt, giving appreciated assets, stocks and real estate, et cetera. Sale of assets is another area. Additional work, some of you may feel like the Lord is compelling you to take on a temporary assignment of a new job or whatever it is and donate the revenue from that. Gifts in kind. So, but this whole sheet is just designed to let people know there's more to what you have influence over than simply a paycheck, even though it may be paycheck too. Does that make sense? So what I'm going to ask that you would prayerfully do is look through each of these and just determine in the next couple of weeks, I could do this over 2 years in that category, this over 2 years in that category, that over 2 years in that category, and then total up what all that is, I think you're going to be shocked what the Lord shows you, how you can get stuff done that you're like, no way, I can't double. The Lord may show you, you're like, double? Shoot, I'm going to triple it. I just figured out how I can do far more than that. Does that make sense? Other creative ideas is to find money for off ones on the next page. Many people seriously underestimate the combined amount of surface lifestyle choices made multiple times every day. When you step back and look at what we easily spend without thinking of it, it becomes clear that we are able to give much more than we initially thought just by making some easy lifestyle sacrifices. Consider these ideas. A whole latte cash. Look for one small indulgence to sacrifice. In essence, bypass the gourmet coffee each day and you could save or give almost $1,000 a year. For many of you, if you look at your coffee habit, it's actually a lot more than that. Buy Keurig. It's 25 cents a thing, and give the rest of it to All for One. Sell it on eBay or Craigslist. For all you hoarders out there, get rid of the hoard. Redbox it. Put off major purchases is another area. Simplify vacation plans. Order water instead of tea or soda or other beverages. This is interesting. A household of four that eats out three times a week would save over $1,500 a year in beverage costs alone. You may not have thought of that. Gravy train. Train your dog to beg for food from strangers so you don't have to buy food for them. Just kidding. Seriously, give some thought to the actual value of extraneous pet expenses. They didn't like that sweater anyway. Okay? They're animals, you guys. They're not people. We don't have to clothe them in the latest fashions. Listen, I'm a dog owner. I've got two of them. I know the temptation. They're going to eat dog food from this point forward. Make a list and check it twice when it comes to some of your giving. Maybe being more intentional with that. Pray before you buy. Reality check. Some of these, all these are just idea starters for you to prayerfully consider with the people in your household. What does God want us to do over the next couple years? And then on April the 24th, the Sunday, the last Sunday of this month, we're going to get together. That's the day we celebrate 10 years together. So it's our 10th happy birthday party. It's also going to be the day we actually bring all the first expressions of that together and turn in what I'm going to give you next week, which is what our commitment cards are. We're going to turn all those in next week. And next week, I'm going to give you the cards. The following week, we'll turn them all in together. And guys, I want you to, please don't skip out on that. You're going to experience something extraordinary on that. Let me give you two pieces of homework. When you turn the page, you see there's some devotionals in here. I'm going to ask that you would, this week, with the people in your household, do what I've listed as week one and week two devotionals. The reason I'm asking you to do two this week is because when I put this plan together, I did not take into consideration the baptism event we did last week, but I think that was probably worth the squeeze of extra devotional in a week. Yes or no, you guys? All right. Good, good, good. All right. So do those two this week, and then the next week you'll do the third one, and then we'll move forward from there. So I wanted to give you a quick overview of this, but more importantly today, I wanted to give you the heart behind it so that you can say, Lord, I'm available for you. All right, now here, look me in the eyes, everybody. If I were having coffee with you, I would conclude it with this. I wanted to be clear with giving you a vision overview of what God's challenging us to do in the next few years. I'm asking you to open your heart and mind and participate at whatever level you feel like God wants you to do. I'm committing to you not to pressure you or manipulate you. I will also try to inspire you. I'm asking those of you who have no in your spirit, listen, no strings, no guilt, no condemnation. I'm just going to ask that you don't let your no be so loud it messes everything up for other people. All right? Fair enough? And by the way, if you're visiting with us, it's not like this every Sunday, I promise. All right? So listen, I'm going to pray for you this morning. Then our prayer teams, pastors, and elders will be at the front. If you're here and you know you need to make some life-changing decisions, I'm going to ask that you move forward at the end of this service. Connect with them. Let them lead you through the prayer of life change. If you need miracles, God's going to do that for you too. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask everyone right now, I'm calling audible. Grab the connection card out of the seat back in front of you. Please do that. Let's all start with yes right now. Just grab the connection card and seat back in front of you. Write your name at the top, your prayer request at the bottom. Our ushers are going to pass the buckets. We're collecting these so we can pray together this week. We're going to watch God do something extraordinary, all right? You guys have been so patient. Are y'all glad you went through this together? Thank you for letting me have coffee with you today. All right, so as we're kind of, our worship team's going to begin to sing. I'm just going to give you a chance to fill these out. We're going to pass the buckets. Pastor Tom is going to come in about a second and dismiss you. All right, so go ahead and write those connection cards out. We'll be dismissed, and God's going to do a miracle for you today. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.